And good morning, everybody. And it's good to have you with us on this Sunday morning as we get ready for baseball here. It is July the 3rd. This July 4th weekend is not going exactly the way the Giants would like to see it go. On Saturday, the White Sox beat the Giants 5-3, and it was a very sloppy game for the Giants. And again, no clutch hitting and some errors along the way. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But the Giants have lost three straight now. And July has not been friendly to them. They're 0-2, of course, in the month of July. And the Sox have won this series. And today, the White Sox go for a sweep of the Giants. And the Giants try to put a halt to what is going on at Oracle Park. Of the last 12, they're 3-9. And of the last 9, they are 2-7. So quickly looking at what happened on Saturday, the White Sox end up 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They leave 8 on base. For the Giants, 3 runs, 8 hits, 2 huge errors, and some misplays along there. And they left 11 on base. And that does not get publicized, but the Giants are still getting runners on, but not getting them in, and that is the big problem. Dylan Cease gets the win. He is now 7-3, and he was as advertised, but not quite as good as I thought. The left-handed lineup gave him a lot of trouble. They fouled the ball off a lot. And for Cease, he squeezed out 5 good innings, 4 hits, a run, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts in 104 pitches. The game started in very good fashion on bobblehead day for Lamont Wade Jr., and he led off the game with a home run. And that was his second of the year and put the Giants on the board, and they're up 1-0. Now, Webb eventually is the loser. He is now 7-3, and as I said, Graveman gets his 5th save before 30,804 at the old ballpark, 3 hours, 18 minutes. Well, Logan Webb, he was terrific for the first 3 innings, 9 up, 9 down, in complete command. And he had that slider going off the plate, the changeup darting down. And the White Sox really couldn't do much with him. So he took a 1-0 lead into the 4th inning, and then the weird stuff started happening for the Giants. Tim Anderson gets sort of a swinging bunt, and then Brandon Belt makes another error as he boots a ball in the hole. There's a fielder's choice, and now Abreu is walked, so the bases are loaded. And this brings up Gavin Sheets, a good left-handed hitter. And Logan Webb is handling him, and he hits a long line drive to left field. And Jock Peterson comes in, goes back, and yes, it went over his head. 2 runs scored, a ball that should have been caught, really, in left field. And the White Sox are now up 2-1. With the infield in, Moncada drills a base hit through the right side and puts the White Sox up 3-1. The errors continued for the Giants into the next inning. Abreu, a base hit. Sheets, a double down the line. And Webb really couldn't put the finishing touches on the White Sox. You have Moncada getting hit by a pitch. Now they're loaded up with an out. And then there's a ground ball down to Belt. He goes to second for a force out. And Donovan Walton throws to first and throws it way over the head of Logan Webb trying to cover on that play. 2-run score. And it is an error on Walton, and the White Sox go up 5-1. Giants made it interesting at the end. They did. Yastrzemski will walk. He had a couple of walks in the day, steals a bag. Ruff gets a double, makes it 5-2. In the 9th inning, Graveman really was on the ropes with 1 out. Slater gets a base hit. He's forced. And then Longo a base hit, Belt a base hit. Now it's 5-3, and it brings up Yastrzemski. And he works a 3-2 count from Kendall Graveman and hits a ground ball down to the shortstop area, who is shifted over on the right side of second base. And he throws out Yastrzemski, and the game ends, and the Giants lose it 5-3 to the Chicago White Sox in a 4-3 putout. And Mike Yastrzemski to end the game, and a long Saturday afternoon for the Giants at the ballpark. They're now 26-29. In their last 55 games at home. Now, they played half the home schedule already, pretty much 40 games. They're 21-19, which is not good at all. On the homestand, they're 2-5. Against the American League Central, they're 6-4, and they haven't seen the Twins yet. How about that? In July, as I said, 0-2. For the Sox on the road, a much-needed win because Minnesota came back to beat the Orioles. They're now 21-18. for the Giants in this 11-game stretch that I stressed before it started. I was hoping they'd win 8 of 11. Believe it or not, they are now 2-5, and they've got the Sox today and then three more with Arizona starting on July 4th tomorrow. For the Giants, 21 of the last 28 games. How about this number? Two runs or less. Those games are decided by two runs or less. 21 of 28, and they are 9-12 in those 21 games, which shows you that you've got to get the big hit. You've got to make things happen, and the Giants have not been able to do that. Runners in scoring position for the Giants, 2-9, and the White Sox were 2-7. Belt got a base hit, finally. He broke the slump that he has been in. Hopefully he'll get it together. But for Lamont Wade, he hit the wall in the ninth inning, catching a long fly ball off the bat of Tim Anderson. And then he was pinch hit for by Slater against a righty, which means that Wade's elbow was bruised when he caught that ball against the wall. The Giants' defense did him in again. Error by Belt, error by Walton led to runs, and then Jock Peterson misjudged that fly ball. And that was the story at the old ballpark. The Giants lose it to the White Sox 5-3. Cease over Webb, Graveman the save, and that is a look at what happened Saturday on Lamont Wade bobblehead day at the ballpark. It's now time for Perry's Preview, sponsored by Perry's Restaurant. Perry's an institution since 1969, known for good food, good drinks, and good people. Union Street, the Embarcadero, Larkspur, and now open in Novato. It's an interesting matchup. The Giants are going with a bullpen game, but it's for the White Sox that the interest for me came about, and that is they have Lucas Giolito pitching. He's 27 years old, 6'6", 245, a big guy from Harvard Westlake and the Hollywood area down south. He was tremendous in high school. He was a big pick of the Washington Nationals, and in 2016 he made the big leagues. He was with the Nationals for a while, was traded over to the White Sox, and then blossomed into a very, very good pitcher, an all-star in the Cy Young consideration and things like that. Now, all of a sudden this year, things have happened to Lucas Giolito. He's 4-4 with a 5.19 earned run average. The whip is 1.53. Why is this? Well, a lot of people think it's the sticky stuff, that stuff that they said you couldn't use to grip the baseball anymore. His spin rate has changed. The fastball used to be 94, 95. It's 93 now. And that changeup, which he relies on, 81.7. So the split between the fastball and changeup, not as dramatic, and he's getting hit hard. He also was on the COVID list May 13th, so maybe a little bit tired from that, as we'll tell you a little more as we go through his numbers. But for Giolito, his last start was better. But in June, five games for this big guy. I mean, he was an all-star. It's hard to believe what's happened to him. 27 innings, 38 hits. This is in June. 23 earned runs, 7 homers in 27 innings, 10 walks and 23 strikeouts. 13 games overall in the year, 69 innings pitched. You can guess, 79 hits, 40 earned runs, 15 homers in 69 innings, 27 walks, and still, he can punch you out, 82 strikeouts there. It's his 131st Major League game, his 129th Major League start. Of the 15 homers, only 8 are solos, so he's given up home runs with runners on base. He's 46-42 lifetime. As I say, in the past, he has been terrific. He's even pitched a no-hitter against the Pirates on August 25th of 2020. To show you how he's declined, his lifetime whip is 1.23. That's putting runners on base. Last year was 1.10, and this year a 1.53. We'll see what the Giants do lineup-wise when I tell you these numbers. Lefties, 234 with two homers. Righties, 329 with 13 home runs. So, does Gabe Kapler put the righty lineup in against this right-hander Giolito? Or does he use his usual platoon of left-handed batters against Giolito? We'll see. It'll be interesting to see that. First pitch, 9-24 with a couple of home runs. That's pretty good for the hitters. Runners in scoring position, 254. Two out, 231. Not bad. Now, likes to establish himself early, and he's putting the ball over the plate. 327 the first time through with seven homers. Second time through, he settles in, 214 with three homers. Then around pitch 75, the fireworks start to happen. 384 with five home runs when he gets up to that pitch 75 in his starts. Casale 0 for 3, Flores 0 for 1, Longoria 0 for 2, and Austin Wins, believe it or not, is 1 for 3 as he has seen him before. So that's Lucas Giolito. Who knows what he's going to give the White Sox today as they try to sweep the Giants. For the Giants, DeSclafani, of course, is on the injured list, so they go to the bullpen and they go to the old standby. And he's making his second start this year. And this is John Brebbia, 32 years old, 6'1". He's 3-1 on the year with a 270 earned run average. Probably will pitch an inning, maybe a little bit more, and then it'll be Sam Long. Sean Jelly may get activated. We'll see. But Brevia's whip is 1.20, which is excellent. Against the American League, he's 3 2/3 innings, four hits, a couple of runs. He's been in 36 games already, which is one of the high totals in Major League Baseball. Pitched 33 innings, 30 hits, only 10 earned runs. Hasn't given up a homer yet. Let's hope that continues. 10 walks and 33 strikeouts there. This is his 216th Major League game and only his second Major League start. Righties 250, which he will see a lot of righties in that White Sox lineup. Lefties are 211. In June, believe it or not, he was in 13 games in June, 10 2/3 innings pitched, only a couple of runs given up, three walks and 11 strikeouts. He has been mainly the seventh-inning guy, seventh-inning guy for Gabe Kapler, and they need him today to give a good, clean first inning against the White Sox before turning it over to one of the bulk guys who may be Jelly, maybe Long today. We'll see what Gabe Kapler wants to do. When you put the first pitch in against Brebbia, it is 7 for 16. Runners in scoring position, 229. He tightens up with two out, 2 for 13, 154. And of course, he only goes through the lineup one time, so that's the basic stat for him is what I've told you earlier. Now, he has seen the White Sox, of course, on Friday night, and he did a very nice clean inning with a walk. Abreu a walk, Garcia 0 for 1, Harrison 0 for 7, Pollock 0 for 1, Robert 0 for 1, Sheets 0 for 1, and Vaughn, our friend from the Santa Rosa area, and Cal, he is 0 for 1 as well. So that's the matchup. Lucas Giolito, at least to start, John Brebbia, then a whole host of relievers should be coming in after that. We'll see what the bulk guy can put together. A couple of very quick notes on the games today. The Padres and Dodgers, it's Gore and Kershaw there, battle left-handers. St. Louis and Philly, that's the late game. Wainwright and Wheeler there. Arizona and Colorado, if the rotation holds, it's Gallen and Cool, which means Bumgarner, on Monday against the Giants if they stay with that rotation. Texas and the Mets, it is Gray and Carrasco there. And Atlanta and Cincinnati, keeping your eye on Atlanta, it is Morton and Castillo there. Castillo, of course, could get traded. Milwaukee, that lost Saturday to Pittsburgh, Quintana there. So that's a look at what we've got coming up on our Perry's Preview and our matchup today as the Giants try to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Chicago White Sox. All right, coming up next, it is the Professor. And that is Ron Wotus. We're going to talk some ball with him, and we're going to do that right after these messages. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.